Welcome to another edition of In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, brought to you by First Star Logistics. And we're emanating from our unbelievable First Star Logistics studios. And our special guest is Bengals tight end C.J. Uzomah. You know, people that I hear talk about C.J. kind of as an unsung hero. I don't think he's unsung anymore. I think people are singing the praises of C.J. Uzomah, and rightfully so. He has had a big season for the Cincinnati Bengals. And this guy, whether it's blocking at the end of the line of scrimmage in the running game, helping in pass protection, you know, moving him out into the slot to play receiver, putting him at the end of the line of scrimmage to get mismatches by formation as a receiver, he has done an unbelievable job in all areas for the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow loves throwing to C.J. Uzomah. All the running backs credit C.J. Uzomah with their ability to sustain an outside running attack. He has had a big year for the Bengals. And that's not to mention the intangibles, his leadership ability, his character. This guy is big in every sense of the word. Welcome to getting to know C.J. Uzomah. Welcome once again to In the Trenches with Dave Lapham, and congratulations, because you're going to visit with our special guest today, and I mean very special guest, C.J. Uzomah, who has become the conscience, the heart, the voice of the Cincinnati Bengals locker room. I mean, you are the guy, C.J. You have something to say, and you say it oh so well, my man.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's kind of a nice little title to have for the team. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
No, you're a leader. I mean, I think everybody on that football team, and I'm talking about coaches too. I mean, they all acknowledge that C.J. Uzomah has a big influence on this entire organization, and that's something to be proud of, man.
Oh, for sure. I'm happy that, you know, I get to break the team down after wins and kind of say my piece when I need to. I'm glad the guys seem to tune in and listen and take it to heart. And we're all buying in.
Early. I'm talking training camp. I remember C.J. Uzomah out in the middle of the field addressing the crowd, the fans that showed up for the scrimmage. Why not us? Why not us? What made you go that way?
Yeah. To be honest, that was one of the first thing. I mean, it's just the first thing that came to mind. Coach had said that he wanted us to speak to the crowd, and I thought of something to say initially. I was like, all right, I gotta end with saying something about, you know, say something about Joey Franchise being the best quarterback and talk about certain pieces that we have. And then that stuck out in my mind through the podcast, London is Blue podcast, that is Chelsea oriented. It's a soccer podcast. And the boys have had me on a couple of times. And when Chelsea made their run, they had some similar things going on in the locker room, right? They had some new pieces. They had a new coach that had just come in. And they were trying to buy into this culture. They had some ups and downs, some ebbs and flows of within the season, and they ended up winning the Champions League. And they're, you know, the podcast, they kept saying, you know, why not us? And, you know, kind of, you know, going off of it. And that in the back of my mind just came out. Like, I was like, why not us? And I was like, yeah, I like this. Let's keep going with it. And, you know, I think that's very telling of our season right now and what we've kind of overcome and where we are as a team and what we have in front of us.
So let's talk a little bit about, before we get into the actual X's and O's football stuff, I want to commend you on two things. I thought it was an unbelievable, unselfish, just thoughtful thing to do to put on Rodney Holman's jersey and go to a presser wearing the great Rodney Holman's jersey and honoring him by doing so, because I was a teammate and respected the heck out of him. That guy, number 82 in your program, number one in your heart, man, that he was the epitome of a third tackle, extra, you know, a wide receiver, could do all the dirty things that you do as a blocker and could make plays as a receiver like you do. I mean, he was unbelievable football player, Pro Bowl player, went to the Super Bowl, together as teammates. I mean, just when you had that jersey on, I was like, man, that's big time. What brought you to do that, CJ?
Yeah, well, you know, in our team meeting room, we have a list of Pro Bowlers and you know, you get to sit there, and sometimes I think we take it for granted. I think maybe not all the time, but there are times, right, where we're sitting here and we're going through meetings and we're going through kind of the monotony of you know, just like a normal day-to-day job in essence, where we're like, okay, nice. We're sitting here and we're going through like a game plan, or we're going through something and we're like, man, all right, well, we're sitting in the same spot every single time, listening to the coach talk about a new opponent, obviously, and things that come with it. But you do take for granted sometimes that, man, I'm playing in the NFL, and all the great people and all the amazing men, football players on and off the field that have sat in these very seats before me, right? And so on the wall, we have lists of Pro Bowlers, and I see, you know, I look over and I'm looking at names like, man, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I see, you know, I see Rodney's name on the board. And so I do a little research, and especially going into this game, I'm like, yeah, wait, hold on. Let me see those years real quick again. And I noticed, you know, the years that he was a Pro Bowler and you know, the things that, you know, talking to some of the older guys that work in the stadium, they're like, man, Rodney was an amazing person. You know, great football player. Obviously, went to the Pro Bowl and all that, but he was an amazing person. And I was like, what better way to come in and win our first playoff game than commemorate and kind of honor the last tight end that won a playoff game and went to the Super Bowl with this team and who was just a great individual. So, yeah, I thought, you know, I talked to Adam Nolman and some of the equipment guys, and they got me in touch with Cook Sporting Goods, and they hooked me up, and I was happy. I thought it was kind of I was just trying to pay homage to people and to him who came before me, and who's done amazing things to not only Cincinnati, the organization, but just the community.
Doesn't surprise me for you to have a sense and a feeling for the history of the game like you do, because Rodney Holman is a great person, as are you. I mean, that's a common denominator. You guys are both outstanding football players, but even better human beings. And that's the common denominator big time. You both are cut from the same cloth in that regard. And I was definitely, man, that was impactful. That was significant. I thought that was an unbelievable thing that you decided to do that and respect the history of the game like that. The other one, at the conclusion of your meeting with the press, you said, you know, you didn't have a chance to talk about it in the locker room because you were whisked in to do media stuff, but you wanted to talk about Zach Taylor a little bit. And it just seems like, I remember coaches that I not only respected, but I liked and loved. I mean, you know, just adored, would do anything for. It seems like a lot of guys in that locker room feel that way about Zach Taylor and that coaching staff. Is that pretty accurate?
Oh, 100%. And, you know, that's when I said what I said, you know, it's not, you know, I'm not disrespecting Coach Vrabel and what he's done to and for Tennessee. Yep. I mean, he's an amazing coach, and he's done amazing things for Tennessee. You know, me living in there in the offseason, I get to see that. But it's just, for me, it's a testament to what, like you just said, what he means to me as a person, as a player, us as a team. You know, just, yeah, like you said, we love him. We want to go to war with him. We want to win for him and with him. And you know, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in without him and his coaching staff. So, you know, I think sometimes, again, us as players, we don't really get to talk about that too much, because I think, you know, especially after a game and, you know, with certain things that go on throughout the week, they just kind of want to know what's going on in your head. What's the game plan? What's, you know, what are your emotions right now? How was that touchdown? How was that catch? But again, it's something that we think a lot and we don't get to express as much as we'd like. And I mean, he's that guy, man. He's our leader.
A couple of pieces of, I guess, trivia. I don't know if it's trivia, but just information. Zach Taylor is now the third head coach in Bengals history to win a playoff game. Where's Greg, Sam Weich, Zach Taylor, and he's the youngest by far. Also, Joe Burrow, Joey Franchise, like you like to refer to him. Yes, he's the youngest quarterback in franchise history to win a playoff game. You guys got something going, CJ. You got something going big time. There's no question. I want to talk about you, specifically the game you had against the Raiders in the playoffs. the two plays that, you know, stick out, obviously the touchdown that you and Joe Burrow hook up on, it was just, man, you guys were such on the same page. Take us through that play. Take us through when you felt like, yep, it's going to be me, you know, getting this ball, and take us through the execution of the thing, because, man, it was a thing of beauty on every end, your end and Joe's.
Yeah, well, we actually this week we went through that play a fair amount of times, and a walkthrough, like a walk jog through. We went through it, and you know, the scout team played it a certain way, and so then in a little 7-on-7 period that we had, they played it a little bit of a different way, and he still threw it to me. He had the option, obviously you have options in that, but he still threw it to me, and I ran it in a way that I thought, like, I was predetermining certain things, and he still threw it to where I predetermined it, which I was like, okay, like, that's, I don't know how he knew I was going to do that, because I shouldn't have done that, but I still got the ball. And then when we go out, I mean, if we're being completely, that was a look, that was the premier look that I could have gotten to get the ball, that they showed. And, so out the huddle, I knew it was coming to me. To be completely honest, like, right when we broke and I started looking at the defense and noticed that they weren't going to really rotate the way that, you know, you kind of know, right? Like, okay, nice. He's going to have to rotate here. This guy's going to have to attach to me. Yep. And right when I took off, I was like, yep, it's coming. And right when I got out of the break, ball was there. So yeah, I knew pretty early that one was coming to me.
Man, and where he threw it, you know, just away from the defender. And I know you hooped some and you boxed him out, used your body, you know, you bodied him up perfectly, and he put the ball in a perfect spot. And it's like, damn, that's just such good execution, man. Great route, great throw. Man, that stuff's just so good. These guys are good, man. These guys are good in the National Football League.
Yeah.
That's big. The other throw, cover two, safety split. You're running down the field. The linebacker has to run with you. He turns his back to Joe and he's trying to run with you. And Joe probably realizes, you know, he's not going to find this foot. And he throws that ball he threw to you that just cleared that linebacker's head and right into your hands was like, what? Talk about that play.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was a crazy, that was like a crazy mental process that I had while the ball was in there. It seemed like, you know, when the ball comes to you, it's coming pretty quick, obviously. He's throwing it with some zip. But
right.
I had a conversation with myself as the ball's in the air. Like, man, do I want to attack this because it might hit this guy in the back of the helmet? Or should I not? And I legitimately remember thinking, should I attack this or should I not? Wow. Nah, I'm not going to. And that's like all like, it'll be good. And then it got perfectly there. And I was like, man, this guy is throwing dimes out here. It was an incredible throw. And even during the game, he was like, how about that throw? Like, he doesn't really say that too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's Joey Franchise. He kind of keeps, you know, keeps it. He just gives you a look sometimes or says like, good job, whatever. But he was hyping himself up and I was like, yeah, you're right. And then after the game, he was like, bro, that might've been one of the best throws I've ever made. Ever.
Wow.
Like, that was, I mean, you're talking about something that's like inch perfect right into the bread. I mean, that was a dime.
Yeah. I mean, it just has to be perfectly placed with the right velocity on it and the right arc. I mean, just, oh my gosh, you could throw it. I don't know how many hundred times and not throw it any better than that. There's no two ways about that. But on the game, CJ, you end up with six targets, six catches, 64 big yards, that 29 yarder we talked about, the touchdown we talked about. And that's not to mention your blocking. I mean, everything, short yardage, goal line stuff, out in the field of play. How much pride do you take in your blocking, becoming that presence at the end of the line of scrimmage that can, you know, just win the edge for his football team?
Yeah, I mean, immense pride. I think, you know, Drew and I both, and as a tight end room, you know, we know what we have. We know the weapons that we have, right? We know we're not going to get 10, 11 targets a game. We're gonna make the most out of the targets that we get, for the most part. I mean, who knows? Maybe we do get 10, 11, and we're not going to be surprised by it. We'll make plays. But we do want to take pride in, you know, letting the running backs know, letting Joe knows he can sit in the pocket a little bit if he needs to, if he needs to extend plays, and letting, you know, Joe and Samaje and Chris know that, you know, we're gonna try to get that edge for you. You know, if something's muddy on the inside, we wanna be able to move our guy a little bit for you so that, you know, you can make someone miss or you can bounce it outside if you need to. And yeah, it's you know, that's what you want to be, the best tight end. You can't just be, you don't want to be known as, oh, well, he's the best route runner, he's the best blocker, he's the best. No, we want to be the best all around tight end. So you know, when we're asked to do things like that, we're like, all right, nice. Like, we got to go out there and we got to try to dominate.
So Joe mentioned in the presser after the game, he said, man, in the first half, I thought we were really good offensively. In the second half, he goes, I'm not real happy with the way, you know, it went in the second half. When you looked at the tape, are there, you know, things that, oh, this was obvious, this is very correctable, this is very correctable? Is it a situation where, yeah, we just didn't execute to the level that we feel we can?
Yeah, I think, man, I don't know. We just played tense, I think, personally. I think, you know, once we were up, we came out in the second half. I think that I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was a mentality thing. I don't know if we were thinking, man, like we're playing not to lose right now because we know what's at stake. You know, we know what the city's been waiting for. We know that we're the team that's going to be able to deliver this. We just have to go out there and do it. And I don't know if that was kind of a weight that it felt like it might have been. And you know, once the clock hit zero, then that monkey just was off of our back,
right?
And we can really play loose. But I think just it was tense. It wasn't as loose and as free flowing as it was in the first half.
Yeah, that monkey was like a 500-pound gorilla, man. That thing that was like 31 years. You had the weight of the community. I mean, Cincinnati was, but how about the fans, DJ? I mean, how much fun was it to play at Paul Brown Stadium in that playoff game? It was off the hook, wasn't it?
Oh, it was rocking. And it's awesome because it was cold, right? Like it was not, I mean, if I'm feeling the cold, if I'm feeling how cold it is on the field and I'm running around, I know that it was cold in the stands. And talking to my friends, talking to my family, they were like, oh yeah, we bundled up and it was still cold. Right. And so to see, you know, man, just to see after the game, usually win, loss, it doesn't matter. Like the fans pretty much clear out, right? And so, like, you know, 65,000 turns into 10,000 real quick. Like, we got to get out of here. We got to beat traffic.
Yep.
At the end of the game, we take a knee, and obviously, I mean, I'm yelling, I'm celebrating with teammates, I'm dapping people up, and then at the end, I try to make like a run around the stadium a little bit, like maybe half the stadium, because I get tired. I'm like, all right, man, I need to chill out. And I'm looking up and I'm just like, no one's leaving. Nobody is leaving. Like, this is amazing. Like, this is, they're just as excited right now as we are, because we were excited. I mean, that locker room, we were hyped. And you could just tell, this city right now, this community, people that are supporting us, they're all in. You know, they know what we have. They know what we have is special. And they're there to back us.
Yeah, they wanted to soak it all in, man. I wonder how much adult beverage was sold at the banks after that football game.
I bet. So, I mean, it was crazy. You know, it usually takes me 30 minutes maybe to get back home. And I live like a mile and a half away from the stadium. It took me right. An hour and a half. And we're just sitting there just like, hey, I got to enjoy this. I got to embrace this, because this is what it means to the city right now.
So in the game against the Raiders, uncharacteristically, you had some red zone struggles, 2 touchdowns and 5 red zone opportunities. But your defense, they get 1 touchdown and 5 red zone opportunities. And, of course, the biggest red zone opportunity, no points. Squadouche ends on a turnover, ends on a takeaway by, what's he call himself, Pratt P or P. Pratt?
Pratt, baby, playoff P.
Playoff P. There you go. He makes the big pick. So what's going through your mind as the Raiders are advancing the football and they get in the low red zone? And man, what are you thinking?
It's tough. It's so tough, right? Because you're like, your heart's racing. You're like, come on, defense. You're cheering for the defense the entire time. But then you're also thinking to yourself, okay, you can't get too high or low right now, because if the Raiders score and they make the extra point, we are going to go to overtime. So you can't let your emotion like get away from you just then. And so I'm kind of trying to tell other people, hey, get ready. And that's really just me telling myself, like, hey, get ready just in case they score. But, you know, we have the utmost confidence in each other, right? Like, I'm going down, then I'm like, man, what? We got a penalty. What's going on? Wait, they're driving the ball. But then in the red zone, they, like you said, they've been stout and they've been doing it the entire game. And our defense, man, our defense is, you know, we played the Chiefs, they held them 3 points. We played the Raiders, they hold them to that last stop, and playoff P catches the interception to win the game. And yep. Yeah, I mean, they step up when they need to in a big way, and have been doing so for a while now. So yeah, I was hyping myself up and kind of making sure I stayed level-headed a little bit, but all my eggs were in the fact that we were going to stop them for sure.
It was crazy on the defensive end of things, CJ. I mean, you guys have handled COVID-19 so well. Injuries have been, you know, not that big of an issue. It's been very fortunate from an injury standpoint. But during that game, two guys combined on a huge play in the game, Hendrickson with the strip sack, Ogunjobi with the recovery and give you a short field. Both those guys go down, you know, and Tupou is deactivated, and you just, now everybody's limping and gimping in the defensive line. You have guys that are taking every snap in the second half, you know, like BJ on the edge, Sam Hubbard had to take every snap. BJ Hill's in there taking snaps. DJ Reader taking every snap. What was it like? I mean, on the sideline, did you notice that the defense was kind of down, you know, pretty darn thin in the ranks on the defensive line, or are you just so into what you guys are trying to do that you don't even think about it till the game's over?
Well, no, I mean, I could tell Sam a little bit. I could tell, you know, when just watching, I'm like, dang, Sam looks like he's a little tired out there for sure. But when we come off as an offense, I don't see that. I see BJ still one of the first people out every time, just, you know, high-fiving us, saying, hey, we got you, we got you, we got you. I see DJ's just standing there ready. Like, he's just looking like he's about to just wreak havoc out there. And he does, right? And then, you know, I look at the linebackers, and the linebackers. Jermaine's just sitting on the bench, just ready. He's just like, what's up? Yeah, okay, I'm good. And Dash is – Logan is just – he's ready the entire time. So – yeah, I think, you know, the way that they handled themselves, the way that they were able just to be like, yeah, we're going to take every snap, but we're ready for it, was highly impressive.
Yeah, unbelievable. So your quarterback goes out and, you know, continues this stretch run that he's on, 70% completion percentage, couple of touchdowns, no interceptions. He's thrown 180 passes now, knock on wood, you know, without an interception. I mean, he is the epitome taking care of the football, and you guys win the turnover battle. You take two away, and not only don't you throw any interceptions, the ball doesn't touch the ground. I mean, there's not even a fumble that you have to worry about recovering. I mean, unbelievable ball security. That's what it takes in the playoffs, because even though you accomplished that, it was still a dogfight, and that's just playoff football. But how big is that? How big is that to take care of the ball the way you guys did?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I think, you know, when you say that, I know – I go to every special teams meeting still, and Darren was not the most thrilled that we put a kickoff return on the ground there.
Right, right.
But yeah, I mean that's huge, right? Like, turnovers in the NFL are some of the biggest momentum changers in a game. You know, just obviously it depends, but you can look statistically speaking that, you know, a special teams turnover, huge. Turnover in the red zone, huge. You know, things like that, they accumulate, and we feel it as players. I feel when we get turnovers, I'm like, all right, let's go. It's time to try to put the nail in the coffin right now. So yeah, I think ball security in and of itself is huge. We talk about it on Wednesdays. And it's something that we preach. We go through drills. You know, our coaches are talking about it throughout the week. The entire time you see the defense, if there's a ball on the ground, incomplete, not incomplete, doesn't matter. If the ball's on the ground, all 11 guys on defense are running to it as fast as they can to pick it up, because you never know, right? So yeah, it's something that we've really harped on, and you know, like you said, you know, franchise is hot right now, and he's making good decisions back there. So we're looking to keep that alive.
Okay, so the Tennessee Titans, they start the season 8-2. And they finished 4-3. And in that little finish, they had a four-game sequence where they beat Jacksonville 20-0, and they intercepted rookie quarterback four times. You know, that helps them win 20-0. They get four takeaways. But they had three losses wrapped around that. They lose to the Texans at home. They turn it over five times in Tennessee. They get blown out by the Patriots by 23 points. They turn it over four times. The Pittsburgh Steelers beat them 19-13. The Steelers rush for 35 yards. Tennessee rushes for 201. They lose the game by 6 points because they turned it over four times. So in those three losses, they had no takeaways, 13 giveaways. Go minus 13. They end up minus three on the season. So turnovers, they come in bunches too. I mean, that's going to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest key to the game, is taking care of the football and taking – you don't want to give any possessions to them, and you want to take some away from them, right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, I'm sure that they're talking about the same thing, right? They've had a week now to prepare and get ready and go through whatever they're going through. And, you know, it's just something that still is and has always been on the forefront of our mind, is taking care of the ball and getting the ball off of them, off of their returners, off of their whoever has the ball on offense. You know, we're going to be punching at it. So, and I know even thinking back to our game, our defense wasn't happy with some of the attempts that they had. They're like, man, we could have had a little bit more. You know, some of the guys were a little loose with the ball that we could have been able to punch out. So, it truly is. And if you, again, I'm talking statistics here just because we look at them. We look at them often. Yep. That, you know, if you get one takeaway, your chances of winning go up 17.5%. If you get two takeaways, it goes up and you have an 82% chance of winning the game just off the takeaway. Nothing else other than just getting two takeaways and holding on to the football. So, yeah, I mean, it's huge. That those stats are, I mean, that if you really think about it, just, okay, hold on to the football, go down, score points. It sounds easy, obviously, just saying it, but that's, especially in the playoffs, it's huge.
The fact that you guys, by beating the Kansas City Chiefs, earned a bye as such, you could create your own bye and took advantage of it. A lot of players didn't play against the Cleveland Browns. And then you have a very, very tough football game against the Raiders. Now you're playing the Tennessee Titans, who, in my mind, might be as physical as any team in football. But your division, you play Baltimore, you play Cleveland, you play Pittsburgh. They all want to run the football, particularly Baltimore and Cleveland. And that's what Tennessee wants to do, obviously, with King Henry. But he's a monster. He's like 6'3", 250. Their receivers are, you know, Julio Jones, 6'4", 220. Browns, 220. They got big offensive line. They're just big. I mean, they're big and physical everywhere, aren't they? You got to put your big boy pads on for this game?
Yeah, I mean, we expect – I mean, to us, this is – like you just said, this is kind of a divisional game to us and the way that I see it, right? And you mentioned their defense as well. You know, their defensive end. I mean, Bud Dupree, I blocked him in the division for a while when he was here. So, I think you're right. This is going to be one of those games where it's going to be, to us, it's going to feel like a divisional game where we're going to, you know, they're going to run the ball. That's their mode. They're going to pass, you know, they're going to play action off of it. I'm not a defensive mind, but I watch enough football to see that's how they attack and that's how they that's their style of play. And, you know, offensively, we're expecting the same. We're expecting a physical battle against a really good defense that, you know, has had some time to heal up a little bit. And I'm excited to go to Nashville, honestly. That's my off season spot. So that's where I live in the off season. So I'm excited to go back and play there.
The thing that I remember about Tennessee is the game last year where you're down four offensive linemen and Tennessee comes to Cincinnati. And it was the introduction of everybody to Quentin Spain. I mean, the guy just goes in there at left guard after showing up like 3 days before, basically off the street, and he's in the tunnel, between the locker room and the field, going over calls and going over footwork and techniques and stuff. And it's like he goes out there and plays his tail off, man. And those four replacement linemen play a really strong game, and you guys beat the Tennessee Titans. I'm like, wow, that's something to be proud of right there. And Quentin Spain, he's just a big old beast, isn't he? That is one big, strong human being, man.
Oh, I love Q. I love his presence in the huddle is amazing, and the locker room is amazing. In the huddle, I mess with Jamar the most. Obviously, I mean, it's just easy to mess with Jamar. But it's fun hearing Q, because Q really is like, he's funny. Like, he's a funny human, but he is so just like monotone with stuff that you're like, man, I don't know if you're being serious or not. And it's a little intimidating, right? Like, if you don't know, you're like, this big dude, he's, I don't know if he's my friend right now or not. Right. And then he'll give you like a soft smile and be like, give you a head nod, and you'd be like, all right, good, good, we're boys. But no, I think his impact on that offensive line and just how tough he is and how gritty he is out there, that gives us an edge. That helps us out a lot.
So you mentioned Jamar, and you look at it, CJ, and your wide receiver core as a core, I mean, not just and individually and collectively, is as good as there is in the league. So almost every game, it's like, well, that's a favorable matchup. Our guys on their back end, that's a favorable matchup for us. How good a feeling is that, knowing that, man, you can go out and compete at least in that aspect of a football game with anybody?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, we got some dogs out there, and you see it, right? You're like, okay, nice. Like, all right, maybe they're gonna try to take Jamar away. They're gonna try to limit Jamar, right? Yeah. They're gonna try to do their best to slow him down. Okay, well, dope. You can double team T, and he'll still catch a jump ball. 50-50 isn't a 50-50 with T. You got TB, who is so underrated still to me. I think, you know, people talk even like, trying to avoid it, but still listening to media. TB is one of the best route runners that I have seen. And I watch a lot of football. I watch a lot of film. And the way that he sets defenders up, the way that he finds soft spots and zones, the way that he is able to just analyze defenses, it is his football IQ is, I mean, I call him all dummies, just because talking to him, I'm like, what's up, dummy? But on the field, they are Einsteins out there with how they're able to analyze and dissect and look for holes in defenses and set defenders up. So it's huge. It's huge. It gives us as a team, us as an offense, Joe as a quarterback, the confidence to go back there and out there and know that they're seeing the defense the way that he is seeing it, and that, you know, that's the way it should be.
Going to get you out of here, CJ, with your thoughts on the all-important phase that people don't necessarily talk about, and that's special teams. You mentioned Darren Simmons, and you go to special teams meetings, and we'll listen to Darren, and he's as good as there is. I mean, a couple of decades in the league, and his special teams units are always amongst the best in the league. Just you talk about attention to detail. Coach is a detail-oriented dude, and it pays dividends. They have Randy Bullock, who kicked here for a bit, and he's their kicker. McPherson has had an unbelievable rookie year. Kevin Huber punting the football. They have Brett Kern, who's a multiple Pro Bowl player, punting the football. You know, that hidden yards, field position, average drive start, and long field, short field. Going to be big in this football game, isn't it?
Oh, it's going to be huge. I think it's great that we've been able to practice in some weather, whether it's rain, frigid cold, it being in the teens at some point when we've been practicing and playing. And I think that's huge. I think it's huge that our kickers and punters and long snap, I mean, Clark, that their whole operation, they get to go through that, you know, during the season, during the year, late time right now. You know, I talked to Daniel Carlson, who's the Raiders kicker, because he and I are really, really close. We went to Auburn together, and we take a yearly trip together, and he was like, dude, it's 64 right now in Arizona, right? And it is tough to be able to, yeah, to have to go from that to this right, kind of weather. And so, yeah, I think, you know, field position is huge. I think our specialists have done a great job of executing this year, and it's gonna pay dividends. I think, you know, in a game like this, turnovers and field position are the two things that are the most crucial, especially playing in a hostile environment, not playing at home, playing on the road. It's going to be huge. And I know tomorrow at 8:15, when we have our first full meeting as a special teams unit, Darren's going to be hot and ready. And he's going to tell us what, you know, what our keys to victory are. And he's going to make sure that we know what kind of game this is going to be, and how crucial it is that every yard, every inch matters, you know, and that's something that we think of on offense, especially, you know, when we have a third and long that we don't want to be in, right? We're like, man, okay, well, all right, even if we check the ball down, get as many yards as you can so that it gives our punt unit a great opportunity to try to pin them back deep. And so, yeah, it all plays. It all works hand in hand together. And like you said, special teams is going to be huge this week.
CJ, I can't thank you enough for your time. I know this is a big rest day for the football team. This Monday is like a Tuesday on a Saturday week when you have a game on Saturday. And do appreciate you carving time for us. And go out and be the best tight end on the field again against the Tennessee Titans like you were against the Raiders. You were the best tight end on the football field. Your contributions were the biggest and the best. And you're an unbelievably talented football player, but an incredibly talented person as well. And, man, the Bengals are lucky to have you on the field, in the locker room, in the community, doing everything you do for this organization. You're a special human being, my man.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Have the best day you ever had, stud.
Yes, sir.
At First Star Logistics, we're a very strict company that really puts the pressure on our employees. Brakes? What are those?
That's what I'm talking about, Icky. Get the body right, then the mind's right. You know?
Yeah, you know, gotta get that body right.
That's right. Right.
Yes, sir.
Become a star with a chance to earn the highest commission percentages in the industry as a freight broker agent. Check out firststarlogistics.com.